KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 9 o'clock, we have a mostly sunny sky, and it's currently 9 degrees above zero. We look forward to be sunny here today with a high around 22. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by United Group Insurance with offices in Griswold and Atlantic. Officials of the Atlantic Police Department report three people were arrested Monday. 26-year-old Jeffrey Knight of Atlantic was arrested for a domestic assault involving a female victim. 24-year-old Johnny Kirchner of Atlantic was arrested for harboring a 15-year-old female runaway who was not from Atlantic. And 36-year-old Mish Loughery of Lewis was arrested for domestic assault involving a female victim. All three were booked into the Cass County Jail and held pending an appearance before the magistrate. News time is 9:01.
This is Donnie Drennan from United Group Insurance in Atlantic. We know you have a lot of choices, but we believe you work too hard to have just a crop insurance policy. We've partnered with Diversified Crop Insurance Services in order to offer you more. Through Diversified, we can offer you a number of free marketing services to help you with your risk management and to enhance your crop insurance policy. Services like a daily recorded call from risk management analyst Rich Morrison with an update on the key grain and outside markets. If you're busy when the call comes in, it will be recorded on your voicemail. You can also choose to receive texts throughout the day alerting you on the markets of your choice. You choose which contracts you want to follow and the times of day you'd like to receive updates. When you choose us, you'll have access to these and more tools available from Diversified Services. Because federal crop insurance is a government-subsidized program, the price is the same no matter where you go, and the time to make your choice is now. Call today and let us put your hands on the tools you need to succeed. United Group Insurance. People you know, people you trust.
Diversified Services is an equal opportunity provider.
The Harlan Community School District's Board of Education offered a counterproposal to the Harlan Education Association Monday. The HEA made its initial proposal at a meeting with the school board 2 weeks ago. During that meeting, the association had asked for a 5% wage increase and some policy changes with regard to personal leave, the adding of duty-free recesses for teachers at the primary and intermediate buildings to work with students, and early retirement. Well, during Monday's meeting, Harlan Superintendent Justin Wagner made a few changes to the contract proposal, including one pertaining to realignment. Previously, the rule stated an employee would have first priority to a vacancy in the district. However, the new proposal said an employee may apply for the vacancy and be considered for the position before the district seeks an applicant from outside the bargaining unit. Also in the realignment, the school district added after a teacher has been realigned at their request, the teacher will not be eligible for any other voluntary realignment until they have completed 3 full years in their new position. And with regard to compensation, the Harlan School Board proposed a 2.05% increase for the teacher's total package. The Education Association will have a chance to review the counterproposal before other meetings will take place between the HEA and the school board. The subsequent meetings will take place in closed session. And as we had reported Monday, Harlan Superintendent Secretary and Board of Education Secretary Terry Cox is retiring from her position. Cox has been the board secretary since 1999 and has been with the district for a total of 32 years. She told the board she's seen many changes at the district, but the goal was always the same.
I really would like to thank all of the wonderful people that I've worked with over the years. There's been myriads of people. And I've seen a lot of different leadership styles, both with the staff and the board. And every one of those leadership styles had the same goal, and it was to educate those kids. thanks.
A note found on a printer in the Red Oak High School Media Center forced officials to lock down the school for a little more than 3 hours Monday. Superintendent Terry Schmidt told the Daily Nonpareil a staff member found the note that threatened violence in the school at around 9 a.m. The message indicated the person was upset and might injure themselves or others in the school by using some sort of a weapon. Red Oak administrators contacted the Red Oak Police Department for assistance after determining the note was credible, and the school went into a lockdown from around 9:45 a.m. until a little before 1 p.m. During the lockdown, no one was allowed into or out of the school as police and school staff searched lockers, backpacks, and elsewhere for evidence of a weapon or of the note's author. Staff were able to determine who had logged on into the school's wireless server before the note was found. After numerous interviews with students and other adults in the building, staff members and others at the school for a variety of reasons, authorities determined the school was safe. As a precaution, though, Red Oak police officers stayed at the school for the rest of the day, but there were no further incidents reported. The last time a string of incidents threatening violence at the Red Oak High School occurred a few years ago, school officials threatened to hold school on Saturday, and that put an end to those threats. An investigation into Monday's incident continues, meanwhile, and school officials say they were confident the culprit will be caught and brought to justice. Officials of the Trevor Fredrickson Memorial Fund have announced applications are currently being accepted for the 4th Annual Trevor Fredrickson Memorial Scholarship. Two $750 scholarships are available for those graduating from the Atlantic High School in the spring of 2013. Applicants must plan to attend a college or vocational school, show involvement in school and or community activities, supply a copy of their college acceptance letter, provide two letters of reference along with their 7-semester transcripts, and maintain academic achievement of 2.5 or better. The scholarships will be awarded at the Atlantic High School Class Night, which will be held in May. Applications may be obtained from the Atlantic High School Guidance Office or the Atlantic High School website. Trevor Fredrickson graduated from AHS in 2006. He went on to further his education at Southwestern Community College in Creston, where he studied automotive mechanics and played baseball for the Southwestern Spartans. Because of his affiliation with SWCC, two additional $750 scholarships will be available for students planning on attending the school in the fall of this year. Funds for the scholarship are raised at the annual golf tournament. Plans are already in the works for the 5th annual T. Fred Memorial Golf Tournament, which will be held Saturday, August 10th. Organizers say they look forward to another successful tournament so they can continue to grant scholarships for many years to come. Meanwhile, the deadline is approaching for current and new college students to get their paperwork in to apply for financial aid. Iowa College Student Aid Commission spokesperson Heather Doe says an important step is filling out what's called a FAFSA.
FAFSA is the free application for federal student aid, and now is the time for people to be filing that if you're going to be going to school for the 13-14 academic year.
While you can wait, Doe says those who are in the system first are the ones that are looked at for aid.
Many colleges have some approaching financial aid priority deadlines, and many of them are March 1st. Even some of our state grants and scholarships have a priority deadline of March 1st, which means anyone who's filed before then is going to get priority for the aid. And if it's gone beyond that date, you know, some people who file later may not have access to some of the funds.
Doe says you can fill out the FAFSA online.
They just want to go to FAFSA.gov. Make sure it's .gov because there are many similar websites that will try to charge you a fee. But the first word in FAFSA is free, and we want to make sure people know not to pay for it. And it's a pretty intuitive process now. It's been simplified over the last several years. It walks you through, gives you little help boxes, and kind of guides you through the process.
And she says that you do not need to have your income tax returns completed to start the FAFSA process, but you do need to have some other information available.
You will need your Social Security number, and for a dependent student, they're going to need that information for their parents as well. They'll also want to have their W-9 information, as well as any information on investments, and savings and that type of information.
You'll be able to indicate when you sign up that you are filing your taxes and then go back and add in the tax information once you get the completed return.
There's a new IRS data retrieval tool. So you can ask that the IRS just pull that information straight over into your FAFSA. Then you don't have to worry about inputting things incorrectly. It makes it really easy for you and make sure it's accurate.
She says that you can also make the process go faster by signing up for an electronic signature to file your FAFSA information. Then you can use the signature each year you fill out the new information. And finally in the news, a powerful winter storm is heading for Nebraska and Iowa, and it promises to bring a foot or more of snow to some locations, along with some strong winds. National Weather Service said in a winter storm watch issued early this morning that snow will begin falling in western Nebraska tomorrow evening and then hamper morning traffic in Omaha and Council Bluffs and other cities as the system heads east. Accumulations of more than a foot or snow are possible in Nebraska. In Iowa, up to a foot is expected in some spots, mainly in those locations west of Interstate 35. The entire KJAN listening area is under a winter storm watch Thursday morning through Friday morning. The Weather Service says heavy snow and 15 to 25 mile per hour winds will make travel very hazardous. We could look for 6 to 12 inches of snow here in the Atlantic area by the time all is said and done. And taking a look at our national news headlines, stocks have been opening higher after a three-day weekend. Reports of more merger and acquisitions activities are giving stocks a boost. There's word that retailers Office Depot and Office Max are discussing a merger. There were gains earlier today in Europe, where signs that the German economy is picking up steam are helping to lift some major indices. And the Internet is filled with criticism of Dr. Drew Pinsky in the aftermath of the death of country singer Mindy McCready. The singer is the fifth cast member of his Celebrity Rehab series to die since appearing on the show, and the third from season three. The previous deaths had already stirred up discussion about the show's helpfulness. Singer Richard Marx on Twitter compared Pinsky to the suicide doctor Jack Kevorkian, although he later backed away and said he'd gone too far in that comparison. News time is 9:11.
This is Donnie Drennan from United Group Insurance in Atlantic. We know you have a lot of choices, but we believe you work too hard to have just a crop insurance policy. We've partnered with Diversified Crop Insurance Services in order to offer you more. Through Diversified Services, we can offer you a number of free marketing services to help you with your risk management and to enhance your crop insurance policy. The Grain Market Outlook is a daily email that brings you up to date on the latest events in the grain markets and some strategies you could choose to implement for your revenue management program. And on the third Thursday of each month, you can join Diversified Services' Rich Morrison as he discusses current market conditions and much more. When you choose us, you'll have access to these and more tools available from Diversified Services. Because federal crop insurance is a government-subsidized program, the price is the same no matter where you go, and the time to make your choice is now. Call today and let us put your hands on the tools you need to succeed. United Group Insurance. People you know, people you trust.
Diversified Services is an equal opportunity provider.
In our funeral announcements, Marion Benton, age 75 of Greenfield, died Saturday in Creston. Funeral services for Marion Benton will be this morning at 10:30 at the Greenfield United Methodist Church. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Bernard Neary, age 85 of Audubon, died Friday at the Friendship Home in Audubon. Funeral services for Bernard Neary will be today at 10:30 at the Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon. Carol Tremble, age 60 of Harlan, died Thursday at her home. A mass of Christian burial service for Carol Tremble, will be this morning at 11 o'clock at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Judith Belknap, age 73 of Oakland, died Friday at the Oakland Manor. An open visitation for Judith Belknap will be today at the reconvened funeral home in Oakland with a prayer service at 5:30. Followed by family visitation with the family until 7:30 p.m. Alice Schumann, age 83 of Avoca, died Friday. Funeral services for Alice Schumann will be on Wednesday, tomorrow at 10 o'clock at the Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Avoca. Mary Howie, age 81 of Guthrie Center, died Sunday. A funeral service for Mary Howie will be tomorrow at 10 o'clock at the First Christian Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has the arrangements. John Jack Wombold, age 87 of Stewart, died Sunday. Funeral mass for Jack Wombold will be held tomorrow at 10 o'clock at the All Saints Catholic Church in Stewart. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has the arrangements. Norma Coles, age 76 of Omaha, died Saturday. A mass of Christian burial service for Norma Coles will be on Wednesday at 10:30 at the St. Pius X Catholic Church in Omaha. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Merritt Spry, age 74 of Anita, died Thursday. Services for Merritt Spry will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Anita. Leland Dickmeyer, age 60 of Kirkman, died Friday. Funeral services for Leland Dickmeyer will be on Wednesday at 2 o'clock at the Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Betty Jane Shepherd, age 87 of Rural Stewart, died Saturday. A memorial service for Betty Jane Shepherd will be held this coming Saturday at 1:30 at the Stewart Mount Vernon United Methodist Church. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has the arrangements. Leo Armstrong, age 77 of Fontenelle, died Friday. There will be no services for Leo Armstrong, but a gathering of remembrance will be held at the United Methodist Church in Fontenelle this Sunday from 1 until 4. Steen Funeral Home of Fontenelle has arrangements. Barb Schultz, age 73 of Greenfield, died Monday at the Greenfield Manor. Graveside services for Barb Schultz will be held at a later date. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has the arrangements. And Guy Barton, age 80 of Exira, died Monday at the Exira Care Center. Celebration of Life memorial services for Guy Barton will be held at the Exira Christian Church at a later date. Kessler Funeral Home in Exira has the arrangements. Our news was brought to you by United Group Insurance. People you know, people you trust. The Sky Scan forecast is next.